From New York City, this is Film Spotting Streaming Video Unit. I'm Matt Singer, and I'm here to introduce a special live episode of the show. Allison Wilmore will be back on our next episode. She was traveling right as my paternity leave was finishing up. So what we are presenting to you this week is a special live show that was recently recorded at Union Hall in Brooklyn, New York, that features myself and Dan McCoy and Stuart Wellington from a great podcast called The Flophouse. The Flophouse, which is Dan and Stuart and another very funny gentleman by the name of Elliot Kalin, is a podcast dedicated to one of my favorite subjects, bad movies. And when a live show that Allison and I were tentatively hoping to have last month didn't quite work out because of Allison's schedule, she was traveling to a film festival, I invited Dan and Stuart to come join me for a kind of crossover podcast show. So what you are about to hear, we called Flop Spotting SVU, where we did segments from both of our shows at a live joint podcast. So first, you're going to hear me and Dan and Stuart review Transformers The Last Knight, which is currently available to rent on many online platforms. And then after that, you're going to hear a little trivia contest between Dan and Stuart that I moderated, came up with the questions for, in which I test their knowledge of Michael Bay's Transformers movies. And that's a lot of fun. And finally, we each recommended a bad movie in addition to Transformers The Last Knight that you can watch at home right now on streaming. So you'll get a little bit of everything you like on our show, plus a lot of what's great about The Flop House as well. I do want to warn you, there is a little bit of foul language here, some four-letter words more than usual on Film Spotting SVU, just in case that bothers or concerns anyone. If you enjoy this, I do encourage you to check out The Flop House for yourself. You can find it on iTunes or the podcast app of your choice. Their website is flophousepodcast.com. You can follow Dan on Twitter at Dan McCoy and Stuart at FlophouseCat. I'm, of course, at Matt Singer. And with that, let's start the show.
This is like the Avengers of podcasts, right?
Sure, yeah.
Because you
equally successful.
Yeah. Yes, clearly. Because you follow separate franchises and then they come together.
Yeah, I mean,
and if people stay around at the end, like Samuel Jackson's going to come out.
I think in terms of audience turnout, this is more of an Alien v. Predator kind of team up, maybe.
Or maybe Alien v. Predator Requiem.
Yeah.
Perhaps diehards only. Do you remember when Alien v. Predator Requiem was coming out and people were like, this one's fucking awesome?
I do remember
this one's
that.
Going to bring both franchises back into the spotlight.
I do remember that.
And I was so bummed that after the first Alien vs. Predator, there's that moment where the Predator is with the woman and they're standing on a cliff and you're like, are these guys going to make out?
Now,
because if he wasn't a Predator, they would probably make out.
Now, painful to make out with a Predator.
I mean, sometimes pain's great and it feels good.
Yeah, sure.
Let me introduce you to my friend Pinhead. Bring him out, guys.
So, wait, Requiem, wasn't that one of the ones that was directed by, like, a brother team? And they were like, the blank brothers. As
yes.
If they were, like, really branding, like, for the future. Like, these people are going to blow up off of Alien versus Predator Requiem. They're going to be huge. The blank brothers. I cannot remember which brothers
Spirig?
They were.
Spirig?
Spirig. Yeah. They did
the Skyline Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Famous for their chili.
Yep. And
rightly so.
Mm-hmm. So cinnamony.
So, yeah, I guess we should start talking about a movie eventually.
Okay. I mean, we were just talking about, like, two different movies.
You're right. And you're holding a sword.
That's from
another movie.
Yeah, for the audience at home.
Yes.
Stuart is armed.
Yes.
Matt, do you want to explain the significance of this sword?
Sure. Well, so I host this podcast called Film Spotting SVU. And my... Thank you, one person. We have an audience of one person, but we've been going strong for several years now, and my co-host, Allison Wilmore, couldn't be here tonight, and she said you should bring the Gymkata sword. And actually, that was Allison's...
She wanted the sword to be your guest host and not
Yeah, she
us.
Couldn't be here, so she's like, bring the next best thing to me, which is a sword that was used in the movie Gymkata, the 1985 classic.
Yeah, I mean, I think... for some people in the, I mean, probably not for this audience, but maybe you need to explain a little bit about Gymkhana.
I'm pretty sure everyone knows what Gymkhana is.
Perhaps the tagline, at least.
The tagline of Gymkhana is the skill of gymnastics, dot, 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 ellipsis, the kill of karate.
Gymkhana.
Gymkhana. And that was Allison's wedding gift to me, was this sword.
To you and your wife.
To me and my wife, who is an even bigger Gymkhana fan than I am, actually. You wouldn't expect it, but it's true.
Not to get too personal, but this is your wife that is currently at home right now with your, what, like, month-old baby?
Not even. 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
And Matt's like, no, I gotta go out and talk about Transformers.
Can you hand... Put down the Gymkhana sword. I'm bringing it with me tonight.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
Mel. Yeah.
So, you mean your children don't sleep in a bed with the Gymkhana sword?
It's sharp.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you can attest to it. It is heavy.
Yeah, it's very heavy.
I mean, it would certainly cleave a man in twain. I mean, I don't know how sharp it is, but like that doesn't matter.
You could definitely bludgeon. Like... You could definitely bludgeon someone with it. Very seriously.
And you were saying before that you got it past the bouncer upstairs.
They didn't care. He didn't even look. He wanted to see my ID, but did not notice the large
weapon. Cardboard box that has sword written on it.
Not entirely true. It says Gymkhana sword on it.
Can I see an ID for your sword, sir?
Yep.
Yeah. I didn't have. I had my license for the Gymkhana sword with me, so he didn't give me any problems.
America, am I right? Crazy laws. Okay, so so what movie are we talking about tonight?
Tonight we are talking about Transformers: :
Mm-hmm. Yep, making me wait for it.
The Last Night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now this is the. How many people here have seen the movie? Oh. Show of hands.
I got.
That's great. You shouldn't see it.
Two in the audience that I see.
They came because they didn't want to see it, but they want to know what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're hoping we will explain it.
They were hoping we're just going to screen it here. And that's crazy because it's like 2.5 hours long.
Yeah. We actually could right now.
How many hours and a half do you need to explain robots fighting one another?
Okay, well, we'll do our best to explain it. So... They're robots
okay.
in disguise.
Yeah, okay. Right off the bat, I've got a problem. Because I think by this, what is this? Is this the fifth
Transformers movie. Yeah.
They seem to have...
How many people here have seen
all five Transformers movies? Even the one person who had seen The Last Night has not seen all of them.
Yeah, I think I have.
I have.
I saw a couple of them because they were playing during the summer, and I'm like... I could use 3 hours of air conditioning.
That's really all they're good for.
This is when you're riding the rails as a hobo.
There's sweet air conditioning deals to be had.
Just right. You and your Gymkhana sword. Right.
But I've got a problem. I want to object immediately
Please.
To robots in disguise.
Please.
Because by the time that we're at the fifth movie, they seem to have forgotten about the disguise part.
Yes,
they're just
they have.
Like, we're going to run around as giant robots the entire time.
Yes.
And the fact that they can transform is worthless.
And actually, in this movie in particular, most of them do not transform. There's like all these knights. They're ancient knights.
Uh-huh, yep.
And they don't transform.
Maybe
they're just big robot knights.
What do you think that the ancient ones would have transformed into?
That's a good
question.
What
would they disguise? Like, just like mountains?
Robot horses? Well, they do transform into a giant three-headed dragon.
Uh-huh.
Which
just
I feel
like
you would have been like really into.
I was
that's
not really a disguise. I'm gonna object to the idea of a dragon being a disguise, because if your idea is like let's not draw attention to ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little conspicuous.
I'm just working in my field. I'm a serf, serving my lordship, and I'm just working regular day. Oh, no Transformers around. No robots. Oh, a dragon. Cool. I see that every day. Yeah. Haven't seen any robots.
No robots at all.
But that giant metal dragon, because it's metal.
Yeah, sorry. So we should go through the plot a little bit.
Yeah.
As best as we can, because this really is one of the most incoherent movies that I have ever seen.
Okay.
For sure. But we'll do our best.
Okay.
So it starts, as you would expect, because it's a movie about robots in disguise. It starts in Arthurian, the age of Arthurian legend.
Yes.
400 AD, I guess, or somewhere around
roughly,
there,
yeah, yeah.
roughly. Arthur is a character. King Arthur is a character in the movie.
Yeah, they're having like a powwow in the middle of a battle.
Yeah.
While these giant flaming metal balls are flying around. There's no real structure of the battle, but you're assuming the Arthur and his gang, the good guys, are losing, right?
Yes.
Because there's a group of more savage-looking fellows that seem to be enjoying themselves. and they're talking about how, they're totally done, except maybe there's a chance that their friend Merlin's going to save them. At this point, you're like, oh, Merlin's in this shit? Amazing.
Yep.
I was coming to a movie about robots.
I didn't expect to get some history.
It is pretty amazing, especially because there was an entire King Arthur movie that came out this summer, like 2 months before this movie.
And they had no fucking robots in it.
They had no robots in it.
Yeah. So I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm assuming
Michael Bay was like, fucking checkmate, man. I got King Arthur and robots.
But Merlin is wandering along, and he's very drunk. And
Stanley
he's
Tucci.
Played by Stanley Tucci, which I didn't realize until I fucking looked at IMDb.
Who has already played a character in this series that wasn't Merlin.
Yep. He played in the last movie.
Not even in one of 1 through 3. It was part 4.
Yes, he was like Steve Jobs-esque guy who was creating like his own Transformers.
Yeah, he's like, this is a great app that I can use. I can't even do a parody. I'm sorry.
Wait, I'm really embarrassed that I know this, but I remember he used the element that Transformers are made out of, transformium.
Sure. Checks out.
I didn't make it up. I'm just, don't shoot the messenger. And he uses it to create a Beats speaker.
Okay.
He uses it to create product placement.
We like watched this for our podcast.
Yes,
and I don't
did.
Remember any of this that you're talking about.
Nope.
You got
it? All right.
Well, he was in that movie.
I do remember that Mark Wahlberg was in it.
He
and
was.
His character, an inventor named Cade Yeager.
I remember that.
I think we were talking about. Were we talking about this with Elliot? I don't know. Like,
I mean, probably he's the other person we talked to.
We're talking about how much of the last Transformers was taken up by discussions about the Romeo and Juliet laws.
Yes, that happened.
And whether like this person, this guy who's like 18, who's like fucking like a 17-year-old, whether that's legal. And he's like, I'm grandfathered in. Here's my certificate.
Yes, he produced from his wallet the law.
Which
yes.
like,
I knew
why
that
is
happened.
It in this robot movie? Why is this legal justification for having sex with an underage woman?
Robots are fantasies, and Michael Bay is also living out his weird fantasy about, I don't know, photocopying laws and keeping them in his pocket.
That's true.
But we haven't gotten very far in this movie.
No, but we have plenty of time. So.
So this opening sequence, I would have expected in a different movie for it to just be like a montage. Like, have Sir Anthony Hopkins do some voiceover and just...
Which he does also, in addition to...
But just do a quick montage instead of having a kind of hard-to-understand battle sequence where, like, two armies that you can't really tell who's winning, fighting, and then all of a sudden a giant metal dragon rolls through them all. Like, it doesn't even fly over and barf flame on them. It just does this weird roll attack, which you might remember is the signature move of every Transformer. Like, as soon as they have a chance, they're like, I'm going to start breakdancing. So that happens, and then there's a moment where it looks like the good guys are celebrating their victory, and I was very distracted by one guy who was dying on a spear stuck through him.
Like, yay!
I'm like, what's that guy's story? I guess he's dead. We'll never find out.
So, and the one other like key thing here was that Merlin, Stanley Tucci, was given by a Transformer a stick, a magic stick.
Yeah, it's a staff.
Yes, that he can use to wield... The dragon.
Yeah. He controls the dragon with a stick. It makes perfect sense.
Yep. And he says, guard this stick.
The robot says. The robot that, like, sneaks up on him super weird. Like, it's edited very strangely, much like most of this movie. But he's like, Stanley Tucci standing in front of this big hole, and he's shouting. And then all of a sudden, this robot's right up on him.
He's like, sup.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
So, flash forward, a million years in the future? What's going on?
Sure. There are Elocs and Morlai, or whatever the fuck.
What?
Morlocks and Eli, yeah. That's what I was looking for.
The Ewoks and Morlocks.
The Ewoks are there.
Yeah, sure.
Yep. And now we are in 2017.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right.
The far-flung future.
Okay.
And
we get another voiceover explaining the current
political... Now we do get the voiceover with Anthony Hopkins.
Uh-huh. That
Optimus Prime has left.
Transformers and humans are fighting.
Yes.
Transformers are totally cool to hang out in Cuba.
Except in Cuba.
Yeah.
Yeah, where they, like, play soccer.
Literally, there's a shot of a Transformer playing soccer in Cuba.
Uh-huh, and hanging out with John Turturro, also a character from earlier in the series.
John Turturro, who, if you had not seen any other movie in the series, you would be baffled by his presence. Like, they never explain why he's, like, what he's doing. Like, he's just there, like, he's on the phone with Anthony Hopkins, providing him with information. But other than that, you're just like, I guess there's this fucking weird guy in Cuba who phones people and talks about Transformers.
I think the reason, Dan, is because when an actor is in a movie, he makes money.
Okay. And money can be exchanged for goods and services.
Exactly. Yeah. It can help pay for one's lifestyle.
Yeah, all right. Okay. But I think that, like, it makes sense to me, honestly, that at this point Transformers have been outlawed. Like, honestly, like...
Wow, bold stance, dude.
Well, like, I kind of... Like, we're supposed to be like, oh, but the Autobots. And I'm just like, fuck the Autobots. Like, I sympathize with this anti-transform... Like, they have come to... the Earth and done nothing but destroy cities by fighting each other.
That's possibly because one of the characters who's fighting against them is played by Josh Duhamel from various things. He was in
the earlier
Transformers movie.
From
he's also
Cut
from
right, Timothy Olyphant.
He's also from a TV show called Las Vegas where he played a character named Danny McCoy. Coincidence that
what?
You identify with him, Dan?
Whoa.
Dan, I called you here today to call you out on being a Josh Duhamel sympathizer.
How do you respond to these wild allegations?
Like I said, I think he's a cut rate of Timothy Olyphant. He's like, you look at him and you're like, you're excited for half a second, and then you're like, oh no, that's
I think Milady doth protest too much.
Yeah. All right, so we haven't gotten to Cade Yeager yet, I guess. No, we're in Chicago. We're in Chicago. Yeah. Which was destroyed in movie number 3, Transformers number 3.
Uh-huh.
Dark of the Moon?
Probably. It was turned into a crater that resembled their delicious local pizza treat, right?
Yeah, their local pizza treat. I love the way you put that.
That's all I know about Chicago.
Yeah, sure.
We'll fact check that later.
Okay, thank you.
So, Chicago was destroyed in movie 3. It was magically undestroyed in movie 4, but it's destroyed again in movie 5.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Wait, that's where Stanley Tucci was hanging out in number 4.
Okay. That's what I was wondering.
Just trust me on this, guys. I've seen all the Transformers movies. Don't worry. So we're in Chicago, which is in ruins.
Uh-huh.
And these knockoff Stranger Things kids are wandering through it. Michael Bay definitely had seen Stranger Things. He's like, we need our own Stranger Things kids. He hires a bunch of kids to play wandering through the wasteland of Chicago.
Uh-huh.
He had also definitely seen RoboCop because there's like Ed 209 guys wandering around.
Of course he's seen RoboCop,
like,
too.
Okay, everyone's seen RoboCop. But Michael Bay was like, I want my own RoboCop. And then they start shooting at the kids. And that's when they're saved by...
Some lady. Some young lady.
Some 14-year-old
lady.
14-year-old lady.
But she, like... So she's introduced to... not to jump ahead.
Where are you going with this, dude?
Not to fucking jump ahead, but, like, she's introduced as if she's going to be a major player in this film. And she, like, has her moments in these, like, next sequences where, like, she's buddies with this Transformer named Canopy, and Canopy gets blown up.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And, like, she bonds with Mark Wahlberg, who comes in and saves her.
And she's got a little batteries not included Transformer guy.
Yeah,
squeaks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you're made to believe that she's going to be an important character in the movie, and then she's literally, like, left behind on a different continent for half the film, and then at the end, she's brought back just to be like, I stowed away! Hello! But she doesn't fucking do anything that helps them at the end of the movie.
Nothing.
She's just there. She's just an extra character.
I didn't time it, but once you go home and watch this movie, as I'm sure everyone here will do, time how long she vanishes for, and compare that to how long Optimus Prime vanishes for in the middle of this movie, because he's not in very much of it either.
Wait, are you saying through the same person? I don't...
Now that you mention it.
Because one of them has shiny metallic skin, Matt.
But they're robots in disguise. So perhaps, think about it. So perhaps Optimus's disguise was this 14-year-old girl.
Yeah, if they can, by the way, if they can fucking scan, like cars and turn into, like, mm-hmm. the nearest car to them, why can't they just turn into a person? Why can't they be,
they
like,
did
more
in Transformers. I know way too much about these movies.
All right.
And actually, in Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, they did turn into people in Shia LaBeouf. Dormitory.
I'm really impressed that you can just pull that nerd impression out, Matt.
That's my actual voice. I'm suppressing it the rest of the time. So the 14-year-old girl, she saves these Stranger Things, the knockoffs,
uh-huh.
and then they're all saved by Cade Yeager, who you've already mentioned, Mark Wahlberg.
All-American inventor.
Playing both the least convincing Texan and the least convincing inventor in cinema history as one character whose name is
but the most
Cade
convincing
Yeager.
Name, yeah.
Cade Yeager. It's a real name.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe it.
So we're introduced to his robot buddies. They kill a bunch of other robots. You learn that there's a standoff between the U.S. military who wants to stop these robots, and then they put a tracker on Bumblebee. I guess the hero of the Transformers movies. He's the fellow who can't speak with his own voice.
Except when he can.
The fellow.
Can I raise one question that I had in this scene here?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
So we have this 14-year-old girl.
Okay.
Isabella, I think.
Isabella with a Z.
With a Z is how she describes it. She, several times throughout this movie, after you mentioned Canopy.
Okay.
Huge! I'm a huge first of all, I'm a huge Canopy fan.
Uh huh. Yeah.
One of my favorite Transformers. He's killed here.
He's the Transformer.
Spoiler alert!
Turns into a pile of rocks.
Yeah. No. His thing is like he looks like a bunch of rubble.
He looks like a bunch of rubble.
And
but
he walks
covers
around,
people.
Yeah, like an umbrella covering people, like a rubble umbrella.
Yeah.
Your average rubble umbrella.
Shockingly, this disguise doesn't work, and he's immediately murdered. So he dies, and Isabel's very upset about this.
Yeah,
she repeatedly says, "Those things killed my only friend, my family. They killed him, my only friend." And meanwhile, she, as you've already mentioned, she has this other little goober squeaks that's constantly following her around. So she's like, "My only friend, my only friend," and like Squeaks is standing like right there, and he's like,
"Yeah."
You forgot about me.
Squeaks is like, by the way, like is like a Transformers Wall-E. Like, you know, like a little Wall-E.
Michael Bay definitely saw Wall-E. He's like, I want a Wall-E
thing.
He's like a Vespa scooter.
Yeah.
That doesn't transform.
Yeah. He's useless. He also does nothing in the movie.
Yes. They set him up, and you expect, well, at some point, this is going to pay off. This guy that, this little creature that's obnoxious and annoying and can't transform.
He's the Rudy of the movie.
Right.
He's going to come in at the last moment and do something heroic. And
spoiler alert again, he doesn't.
Yeah, it's a little bit like he saw Force Awakens and he's like, I can do better than BB-8. But then he didn't do better than BB-8 because this guy sucks.
He does. Okay, so Cade Yeager, Mark Wahlberg saves them all. That fellow Bumblebee has a tracking device on him. They head back to their secret hideout, which is
a junkyard.
It's
right?
a junkyard in the Badlands of South Dakota.
Yeah, near to an empty town that will become important.
And I do like that they say that they're hiding out from because, as you mentioned, the Transformers have been outlawed, both the good ones and the bad ones. And they're hiding out in a junkyard. They can't be found there because they're hiding amongst junk. So who's going to find the 20-foot-tall talking robots that walk around? And also there's a dinosaur there that breathes fire, a robot dinosaur that breathes fire. No one could ever pierce the veil of secrecy around this junkyard and find these creatures.
There's kind of the chance that we are introduced to all the Autobots. Those are the good Transformers, and they all have very specific accents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, don't we have like, we've got like a samurai Autobot, and then we've got John Goodman, who's kind of like...
We got a John Goodman robot.
A Viking kind of a little bit, like...
I mean, he just sounds like John Goodman.
Yeah, but like, he's got like a big, like, robot beard, which is the weirdest thing.
There's a lot of robot beards in this movie, Dan.
I mean, this is a series where robots had testicles at one point, but...
And it's odd, right? Because it does appear like every robot in this movie is at least voiced by a man. It doesn't appear there's no like female robots. So does it mean that all Transformers are non-gendered or agendered?
How much time do we have to break this question down?
Yeah, does Optimus Prime give a speech at any point where he's like, on Cybertron, you can use either bathroom?
In the deleted scenes, maybe.
Sure, yeah.
Maybe. There is one female. I don't know if she's a Transformer. The bad guy in this movie is
Quintessa.
Yeah. Quintessa.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's, I don't know if we've seen
she's
her.
She's portrayed
yet.
As female. Yeah, I mean, she's got tentacle
Medusa
legs.
Style yeah, okay. lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ursula from The Little Mermaid.
She's hanging out on Cybertron.
Your favorite tentacled lady.
We
Whatever.
Probably have seen her. She's probably introduced around this point. Who can remember?
Yeah.
She has Optimus Prime at the end of the last movie. How many people saw the last Transformers movie?
Stop asking
that. Yeah. Awesome. Well, let me explain that entire movie right now, right here. So the end of that movie, Optimus Prime was like, fuck it, I'm out of here. And he leaves the planet. He's in search of his creator.
Yeah.
Cut to this movie.
Where he's like,
he's
floating through
he's
space.
He's floating at random.
He's all like iced up because it's so cold. And the zero, you know, like, yeah, the absolute zero of space.
He's floating through space. And despite the fact that he is frozen solid, floating through space, he still manages to land, I guess by accident, yeah. on Cybertron.
Yeah, he's... The luckiest robot.
That was the original title of the movie. Transformers:
The Luckiest Robot. Transformers: The Luckiest Robot. So, as luck would have it, he lands on Cybertron and meets, I guess, his creator, which is Quintessa, this robot in disguise lady who is like, "You're gonna help me destroy Earth."
It appears like his home planet has been ravaged by some kind of malady. And the only person there is this evil person who's saying, "You're going to serve me." She slaps his face. He gets a streak of red paint on it, and that's why you know—that's how you know that he's a
evil.
Bad guy now.
Yeah, and his eyes change color.
It's kind of like when Vin Diesel became evil Fate and the Furious.
She gives him another name though. What was it? Like,
Nemesis Prime.
Nemesis Prime.
I'm Nemesis Prime. Now.
Which he says is pretty cool.
Isn't like, but doesn't she says something like, "So Earth is what is it? Omicron? What?"
You actually...
excuse Omicron.
Me, it's Unicron.
Unicron. All right, Earth is Unicron.
Yeah, that Earth is like the
I feel
yin.
Like we should have one of those, like, conspiracy theory walls behind us with yarn. Earth is Unicron!
I mean, just the sheer amount that... Tessa. Just the sheer amount that they use, like, monuments and... I don't know, like historical sites around planet Earth in this series. Like, you could do a crazy, crazy conspiracy theory map.
Well, we haven't even gotten to the part of this movie that is in itself a crazy conspiracy.
Okay.
There's a giant.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if we want to get there now.
We can get there right now. I don't care.
Yeah. This movie might, like, there's no.
Put your foot on the gas, is what I'm saying.
Let's do it.
Like, they might as well have, like, put everything on cards, each scene on cards, and then just be like, 52 pickup. Like, it doesn't matter.
If we were to go beat by beat, it would take almost as long as this movie because there's no, like,
there's
no attention span. It's just constantly moving.
No.
But we're introduced to the secret history of the world via Transformers, told to us by Sir Anthony Hopkins and his robot butler, Cogman.
No, it's Cogman.
Cogman, my mistake.
Like, he's not named Cogman. He's named Cogman. Like, okay. He's an accountant.
And he's...
My name is Jacob P. Cogman, CPA.
I feel like Anthony Daniels saw Cogman and was like, that robot's a bitch.
Well, they call him a C-3PO knockoff in the movie, so I can only imagine what he thought.
Except for C-3PO can't do kung fu.
Right.
Which is what makes this robot cool.
Yes, yeah, so eventually Cade... Jaeger and Bumblebee wind up in England somewhere at the ancestral home of the Witwickens, the order that is in charge of protecting the secret history
now you may remember,
of Transformers.
You may remember from early Transformers movies, Shia LaBeouf was Sam Witwicky. So they're connected. The Witwickens.
They are.
And they even
on our conspiracy theory wall up here.
And
the
they do sneak a little Easter egg of Shia LaBeouf's crazy face in the movie, which is pretty great.
And Anthony Hopkins mentions that he is the last surviving member of the Order, which I think, I'm pretty sure implies that Shia LaBeouf is dead in the universe of, at some point, you're nodding, like, yes, yeah, he's, It's fine. No one complained. No complaints were registered. Yes. So, Anthony Hopkins, who looks like he's having a lot of fun in this movie, I have to say.
He totally does.
He looks like he's, one, having a lot of fun, and two, didn't do more than two takes of anything he did. Because he is saying his lines so fast. Like, he's like, when is catering coming for lunch? I have 20 minutes.
There's a moment later on in the movie where the heroes are about to go on their adventure in, an ancient submarine or something. And Anthony Hopkins all excited to go. And then he's like, I'm sorry, I have to leave you. And I'm like, it must be because he's only paid for 3 days.
Right? I've only been contractually obligated. Him and Optimus Prime, they were both on those contracts where they only had to show up for 3 days. Exactly. Now, should we try to...
Explain the secret history of the Transformers.
Well, should we let Anthony Hopkins... Yeah, do you guys want to see the secret history of Transformers? Yeah. Okay. If our tech can... Let's see if we can set this up. If we pull this off, we should be able to watch Academy...
Should we vamp? Should we vamp somehow?
It shouldn't take that
long. All right, I'll just get off to the side of the stage then.
How you doing, Dan? I hear you fell asleep while watching this movie.
I did fall asleep, but then I went back and I watched the rest of it. I want to make that clear.
Push it over. It's not pushing over.
We're not.
Gary. We're having some technical difficulties.
So who here is from New York?
How many anybody? Transformers we got in the audience tonight?
Yeah. There's a female Transformer, according to... RC is Pink from the cartoons. She dies in the background of a big battle scene, apparently, without saying anything.
I kind of wish you'd told me about this after the show, because I have to perform now, knowing that RC's dead.
Do we... Wait, all right, there's still problems behind us. Didn't this work before? Like, but didn't this work before the show? It how did that happen?
I don't know.
Well, all right.
Maybe you didn't pay enough money to iTunes.
Sorry, iTunes. I bought the movie instead. All right. Well, let's explain it then instead. And I actually have the list of all the names that Anthony Hopkins mentions. So here's what happens. They go to Anthony Hopkins' ancestral home.
Yeah.
In England. And he explains that the Transformers have been here since the dawn of time, or at least the Arthurian age. They've been with us always. And then he lists all the people of history that were part of the Witwicken Order. I'm going to read it. That's okay. I'm going to read the names. Here we go. These are the people he mentions.
Sure.
Catherine the Great.
Okay.
Yep, right off the bat. George Washington.
What?
Yeah, there's a picture, and then there's a picture of like him with like a transformer behind him, going like this. Yep. William Shakespeare.
All right,
makes sense. Perfect sense.
Yep. Queen Elizabeth.
Okay.
I could see it. Yep. Abraham Lincoln.
Well, wait a minute. wait a minute. So there were Transformers in America during slavery.
Yeah.
Wait, definitely, because the next two names on the list are Frederick Douglass. Yeah. And Harriet Tubman. Yep. Yep.
Now, I made this joke earlier, but it clearly means that the Underground Railroad was an actual transforming robot train.
The Wright brothers.
Then they were fucking cheating, dude.
Yep. Yep. Michelangelo.
Here's the thing, like...
The Ninja Turtle?
Yep.
See?
Yep.
So with some of these people, it kind of makes sense. Like not really, but it, like... I guess none of it makes sense, but like the ones that... Like Shakespeare and Michelangelo, at that point, it just seems like the Transformers are star fuckers. They're just like... It's not like who they can help fight, because like Michelangelo's not going to be out there like trying to defeat his enemies. But it's just... The Transformers just want to be next to him for the reflected glory, I guess.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, go on.
Yep. Darwin.
Okay.
Yep. Churchill.
Yeah.
Einstein.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Einstein
sure,
was
yeah, yeah.
partying hard with the Transformers. Stephen Hawking. Wait a second. Why? But then they also say, now I'm just thinking about this. Anthony Hopkins also says that everyone but him is dead in the order. So that means in the world of Transformers, somebody killed Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking is dead. Somebody killed him.
He was in Chicago in part three.
Oh, wow. Man.
Standing next to RC or something.
Okay, we've got Henry V, Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah, okay,
that makes sense.
Newton, Mozart, Beethoven, Edmund Hillary, Teddy Roosevelt, Copernicus, Tesla, Galileo, and Shia LaBeouf. All they took the recruitment took a little bit of a nosedive.
A couple of Bill and Ted's over here.
Just had like Wikipedia set on random, and they're like, we're gonna.
But yeah, it's just like that. That's I guess, and then there is a scene from World War II where we find out that Bumblebee helped win World War II and kill Nazis.
Yeah, like and that we discovered that a small watch transformer murdered Adolf Hitler.
Yes,
as well.
There's like in Anthony Hopkins' house is a watch in like a glass jar, and the female love interest who we haven't mentioned in this movie, probably to her benefit.
She's nothing of a person in this movie.
What?
It's not her fault. It's not her fault.
Dan,
the way she's
she
written.
Is a college professor at Oxford University and is teaching a college-level course where she is talking about why we have myths and legends. It's crazy. Yeah, they're at Oxford, and she's like, King Arthur, did he really exist?
Yeah, no, it's a lot of her telling like a dramatic story about King Arthur and then being like, all nonsense, of course. And that's her, like, entire class.
Yes.
So she splits her time between doing that and hanging out at home with her, it appears to be, like, spinster aunts
her
and mother.
Her nagging mother and aunt and, yes, asking her why she doesn't have a man.
Yeah, who want a prime slice of beef like Cade Yeager to enter her life.
Michael Bay does the weirdest things when he's not actually having things fight. Like, when it's like, hey, just do some, like, little personality stuff. And he's like, let's do this weird shit where people are pressuring people into relations. I don't know. What's going on?
I thought that scene was very tender and powerful,
okay,
actually.
I'm sorry, Matt.
Very relatable. If you've had a nagging mother, what are you doing with your life?
Offensive. I don't...
It's my mother. I don't know.
I know, but it's somehow still offensive.
So anyway, this nothing of a character picks up this watch in Anthony Hopkins' mansion.
Lair, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, don't touch that. That's the watch that killed Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it like transforms a little bit. Beep, boop, boop.
And everyone in the audience is like, why didn't the Transformers kill Hitler a little earlier? Like... If that was on the menu, then, like, come on. Seems like a no-brainer. But.
So the plot point here is that Mark Wahlberg, by, I guess, helping a robot in the beginning of the movie, has been chosen as the last knight.
He was chosen by
a dying Transformer.
A talisman.
Yes.
Like a little metal disc has latched onto him, and it travels around his body. There's a scene where he pulls his shirt off to reveal an amazingly cut set of abs, while this weird liquid metal slides all over his body.
Yeah.
It's very erotic. And so he has been chosen to be the last knight, and the love interest character is supposedly the last descendant of Merlin, and is the only...
Which we're shocked because she looks nothing like Stanley Tucci.
That's true.
I think at one point Michael Bay was thinking about using special effects to place Stanley Tucci's face on her body.
Yeah, it was gonna be like Looper. There.
Yeah.
Change her nose.
Yeah, he went and saw Looper, and he's like, I can do that with Stanley Tucci on a lady. I can one-up you, Ryan Johnson.
So she is the last living descendant of Merlin, and she's the only one who can handle that staff that was from the beginning of the movie, the magic stick.
Uh-huh.
That's the key. And they have to go find it now. Go find it. We don't know where it is.
Yeah.
And then they go find it.
And yeah, this is one of these parts of the movie where I'm just like, I'm kind of
I'm not really sure how they found it. Like, there were, like, clues, and, like, maybe John Turturro, like, helped someone along the line at a certain point, and, like,
her,
I don't...
Her dad was one of these secret history of Transformer dudes.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Left
put,
her
like,
a message. Right. Which, speaking of the mother and the aunt who are
sure.
all judging them, they go home. They're all still there. This is literally all they do is sit around in her house and judge mm-hmm. her. And they're there while they're ransacking the
yeah.
house.
They're
and
just
they
hanging
think,
out and Googling Blake Shelton and being like, I don't know.
And they're ransacking the house looking for the clue that will show them where the staff is. And they think that them ransacking the house sounds like sex.
It's,
yeah, there's
it's
a
the
hilarious...
laziest joke because they don't even commit to it. Like, that's what made me the most mad, is that they didn't even commit to this joke. They do, like, 2 seconds of it and then just cut it out. But it's like, come on, let the joke breathe a little bit, Michael Bay.
Well, it was also one of these things where, like, they were, like, saying a couple things that could easily be misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this is a double entendre, like, yeah. maybe they're having sex.
Yeah, like, do you got a Band-Aid?
Yeah, well, that was the thing, like, then they said, like, a couple things, just like, there's no way that's fucking gonna be misunderstood. Like, it just sounds like they're ransacking an office.
Like, yep. Where's the secret Transformers map?
Exactly.
Oh my.
That doesn't mean anything sexual.
Oh, Philly. They're listening to them ransack this house, and it doesn't sound like... I mean, maybe I'm doing it wrong, but that's not...
You have 2 children, so I don't think that's possible.
Good point. All right, so, and they find some clue that sends them to the submarine, where, as you mentioned before, Anthony Hopkins is like, well, I'm out of time. Bye, everybody.
I'll leave you with my bitchy robot butler.
Yes, he leaves Cogman behind.
And he somehow gets everyone to evacuate the submarine. I'm still kind of unclear on how
he insulted the overweight guy. And was mean to everyone else.
Okay.
That's how he did it. It was pretty simple.
He just chases everyone off the submarine because I guess like Anthony Hopkins coming for you is super threatening. So everyone goes off the submarine. And the submarine, even though it's a museum piece,
somehow magically works. It goes in the water.
Exactly.
Yeah. We've also completely skipped over like there's like a huge chase scene that makes no sense. We haven't even mentioned the French Transformer, Hot Rod.
Uh-huh.
Who can't pronounce his own name, and everyone's confused about his name.
The weirdest thing was that he pronounces his name Hot Rod, like, Dan, do your perfect French impression.
Hot Rod.
Uh-huh. And the English woman, she can't understand him at all, but I feel like she'd interact with a lot of people with French accents being in London.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Makes you think.
Yeah. Just across the channel. I understand what you're saying.
And nor have we talked at all about the sequence where Megatron is meeting... That's his name, right? Megatron?
Yeah,
Megatron. He is in this movie.
He's meeting with the U.S. government to arrange the release of his elite Decepticon bad robots.
Yes.
And he is like, I want this guy. And then they'll do like a little introduction piece for that character where that character's in prison. You're like, man, that fucking guy's crazy. He even gets like a little title card under their name, like Mohawk...
Yep.
Onslaught, all these guys. And every time he says a name, the like lawyers he's negotiating with like throw all their papers in the air and their hair gets crazy. They're like, oh, not that guy. Or like, let me make a call. And then they like pick up a piece of pizza to talk into the... so they put a lot of effort into this whole thing. And then as soon as these evil robots meet the good robots, they all die. They get their heads chopped off, their heads blown off. They almost all say something kind of racially insensitive when it happens.
Mohawk is
Wouldn't be a Michael Bay movie without it. Yep,
wouldn't be
a Michael Bay movie without it. So they go on this submarine to the bottom of the sea to find the magic staff, and they literally get there.
Uh huh.
Cade Yeager. They open the tomb of Merlin.
Uh huh.
They know that they're going there to find the magic staff of Merlin.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They open the tomb.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They look inside the tomb.
Uh-huh. Sure.
There's a body.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's Merlin's body.
And a stick.
Uh-huh.
And Mark Wahlberg goes, look at this stupid stick. Why did we come down here? And throws it away.
Yeah. No, I noticed that.
I mean,
that
he's not a man known for
his
patience.
he literally picks it up.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, well, we were here looking for a stick.
Yep.
And all we found was a stick. and throws it on the floor.
He also knows, he's also aware that the descendant of Merlin is the one to wield the staff.
Yes, that's right. We've been told that information as well.
So maybe he should have handed it over
to the descendant of Merlin in
exactly,
the room.
Exactly, yeah.
He does not do that.
Yeah, he didn't take a survey of the room. Like, who here's a descendant of Merlin? Raise your hand if you're a descendant. Oh, right, you are. Yeah, young lady, here, take the staff. That is a scene that does not occur.
No.
Within the confines of Transformers.
No. Eventually, so, she does get it.
All of a sudden, a bunch of U.S. Army guys show up to shoot them, I guess, and then some robots wake up, and they're like, we're going to kill you and take that staff.
This is where Evil Optimus Prime shows up.
And that's when Evil Optimus Prime shows up.
Right.
Which is a surprise. I was surprised.
Because you weren't paying attention earlier, and you had fallen asleep.
I knew he was evil, but they didn't show him showing up down there.
No,
to the
because he's
of the
not
ocean.
In the movie for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I just like how he refers to himself, too, as Nemesis Prime. Like, he has been so fully brainwashed at this point that he's just like, it's me, Nemesis Prime. I'm here to beat you up.
Like, that's a really evil-sounding name. Yeah. He's like, oh, no, I just thought it was cool. You think it's evil? I'm not evil. I'm a good guy, right?
What I liked even better was, so he fights with Bumblebee. They have this long fight. And then Bumblebee talks, which this is a big deal, I guess, because Bumblebee can't talk, right?
Yeah, he only talks in radio snippets or snippets from movies or whatever. Like, that's his deal.
Right, and they're trying to fix his voice. They can't do it. And then, I don't know how, but at the perfect moment, he talks with his real voice, and Optimus Prime, it fixes him. He's brainwashed no more, and he says, what have I done? And you literally go, you've done nothing. You showed up. You fought Bumblebee for 3 minutes. He's fine. He's not hurt. You didn't kill anyone. You didn't do anything.
He's
racked with guilt. He's like, what have I done? And you're like, nothing.
Yeah, he didn't even really kill those Transformers he stabbed in the ship, right? He just, because they show up later. Because they show up and then
they
start beating him up later like it's a weird gang initiation ceremony.
He has done nothing. He's racked with guilt over literally nothing.
Yeah, but it is a real Batman v Superman. Your mother's name is Martha too moment when he snaps back into place.
He's I haven't heard your voice in a long time.
Yeah. So now that he's a good guy, that's when the other the night Transformers, the old Transformers, show up and just start beating him up. And he's like, it's cool. This makes sense. I was a jerk. They're going to chop my head off. And they're just about to when finally the seed that Michael Bay planted in the earth in the early parts of the movie finally blooms. And Matt, that is what happens.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Stuart.
I don't know.
The weird metal disc that has been traveling all over Mark Wahlberg's sculpted body.
Yes.
Transforms into a sword because it's a transformer like everything.
Yes.
And it blocks the other robot's sword.
Right.
And Optimus Prime lives and they all think he's cool. And that's the last, this talisman that they talked about how important it was, that's the only thing it does the whole movie is prevent Optimus Prime's head from getting chopped off.
Yes, he's given, Mark Wahlberg, given this talisman. It, mm-hmm. Leeches onto his arm. He walks around with this thing on his arm the whole movie. Except when it's slithering around his gorgeous torso. Mm-hmm. And then at the key moment, it turns into a sword. He blocks this guy who's trying to kill Optimus Prime. And then that's it. Mm-hmm. It is never seen again. Literally, he's holding it in one shot, and in the next shot, it's gone.
Yep.
And it's never mentioned again. This key item that will save the world. He just puts it down?
He's like, stupid sword, what are you doing in my hand? And throws it away.
My work here is done.
This is a 2.5-hour movie. And I would say at least an hour of it is car chases that I didn't understand why they were occurring. Just things transforming at length into other things. People hiding behind stuff as stuff gets thrown around. The action of this movie...
Yeah.
Is great, I think is the word you're looking for.
Is baffling.
Yes.
The
most baffling one is there's a scene where they're in an abandoned town.
Sure.
They're escaping in an abandoned town. And the abandoned town, when they first go there, it looks like an old-timey Western town, kind of.
Yeah.
There's tumbleweeds, literally going across a dusty road.
Uh-huh.
And then after 5 minutes, they go into a church.
Yep.
They go upstairs in the church. the church, like, might be a transformer because suddenly they're in, like, a hospital, like an abandoned hospital.
Uh-huh.
They walk out of the hospital,
yep.
and now they're in, like, a city.
Yep.
And they go into a skyscraper.
Yeah, at one point...
An abandoned skyscraper where there's a janitor. Oh, my God. Don't break the Gymkhana sword.
Okay. Sorry, guys. For the listeners at home, I almost broke the Gymkhana sword.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're in an abandoned town in the middle of the Midwest that has a skyscraper.
That's at least 10 stories up.
Yes. That's not seen in the background of any of these shots. And has a working elevator,
uh-huh.
lights,
uh-huh.
and a janitor. Who's still the janitor in an abandoned town? No one lives there. Why is he still cleaning?
I mean, he keeps getting paychecks.
He's wandering around, muttering to himself, well, the work moved on, but old Jim stays.
Like, Cade Yeager and his buddies run past him, and he's like...
Says, like my daddy always says... The economy transforms, but we don't always transform with it.
Yeah.
Boo. Terrible. Awful. Awful. Yeah, that was my favorite inexplicable action scene.
Yeah. But where were we?
We're on the ship in the ocean, and Mark Wahlberg had said, I don't need this sword anymore. I've used it a single time. That's enough.
Yep. And meanwhile, the Transformer home planet Cybertron is showing up into Earth's orbit and is starting to smush into the planet Earth.
Yep.
Tony Hale, the lone scientist on the planet Earth, is trying to convince everyone that they should do something about this and not trust in magical mumbo jumbo. And it's kind of weird because, I mean, I don't want to pull out my scientist card here, guys. But if a planet basically was, like, touching Earth, it would totally cause a lot of problems. But the only problem is, like, I don't know, like, Paris gets destroyed or something. Like, it would cause crazy things to happen with, like, the tides and gravity and all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. We got another scientist here.
Well, sorry, it doesn't. Nothing happens.
Okay.
It's totally fine, even if this other planet is just touching our planet.
Isn't, like, Unicron's, like, plot, or, I mean, not like, it's not their plot, but,
this
like,
is Quintessa.
Quintessa's plot is going to, like, they're going to suck the energy from Unicron, rather, into, what's the planet?
Cybertron. Yeah.
And the whole, like, deal is, like, they're going to, I don't know, like, it's going to cool down the Earth's core, which is going to change the magnetic field, which is going to fuck everything up. And, like, there's, like, a countdown.
Yeah.
Basically, like, they're like, okay, we can't, like, let it. But I'm just like, really? Like, isn't it more delicate than that? Like, is it cool that we cool down the Earth's core just so much? But, like, not enough that it actually fucks everything up.
Yeah, there's some kind of dividing line where once it gets past that, they're all dead. But before that, they're totally cool.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It seems
their
like...
health bar is green, and then it suddenly becomes red.
It seems like almost immediately things would get fucked up. Like, it seems like we are on a precarious path already in terms
of, like... minor changes to Earth's, like, temperature has a big impact, guys.
That's why we brought you here tonight.
I don't know.
There's someone with a bucket running through the audience. And
yeah, but I feel like if it was going to cause major problems, Tony Hale, as the one scientist, would have mentioned it, and he doesn't.
That's true.
I mean, he's a scientist. Not to. I mean, you did bring your science card,
uh-huh.
your scientist card, but Tony Hale has a scientist card,
Yeah, I guess
too,
you're right.
And he doesn't mention it. Doesn't come up. He's just worried about the collision.
So... we are now at Stonehenge, which is one of the historical monuments that the Transformers are destroying. And they're performing some kind of ritual to suck all the juice out of Earth and put it in Cybertron.
Exactly.
And it's like all Michael Bay things where the idea, like, I think they're trying to convey the idea that as Earth will die, Cybertron will, like, heal itself. And because it's a Michael Bay movie, as Cybertron is, like, healing itself and coming back together, of course, shit is, like, flying everywhere. Like, every time parts of the planet come back together, huge chunks fall off. Like, he can't have creation without destruction, which is, I mean, come on, dude, that's a very negative attitude to have.
He's right.
That's all I'm trying to say.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's not much more to describe.
No.
It's like the Transformers do some stuff.
Yeah.
There's
incomprehensible action sequence.
Incomprehensible action. They're trying to, like, blow something up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And also jump off of something.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And also...
And someone has to do something with that staff.
The staff has to be used one time.
Yeah.
And then discarded and never seen again. And they do it.
Yeah. And again, that girl from the beginning plays no part.
None. Her little Vespa sidekick does not do anything of
I thought he blows up a turret that allows them to save the day. Michael Bay feels like a guy who really wants to make a war movie, but doesn't have the patience to, like, sketch out how, like, the geography
like research
of a
history.
Yeah, or research. Well, dang.
Well, he learned
a little bit of history in this movie.
It
learned about a guy named Merlin.
It worked really well for him with Pearl Harbor, and he was like,
"That's true."
He was like, "I got this." But it would be better with robots.
Yeah.
And laser guns.
One of my favorite things about these Transformers movies is anytime they have, like, a really beautiful landscape, like, oh, look at these beautiful cliffs in England, and then all of a sudden you see, like, Bumblebee walking across. Like, oh, it's gorgeous. Just like, just like Mother Nature intended.
And by the way, like, the Transformers, like, just, like, in a general sense, like, in all of these movies, the Transformers are the ugliest fucking robots. Like, just, like, the design of them is so unpleasant, and... The cool thing about, like, the toy Transformers is you can see how one thing, like, transforms into the next thing.
You see echoes of its other form.
Yeah. No, it's true, though. Like, you see, like, and, like, when things transform in Transformers, it's just like, choo, 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 choo. Like, there's a million little tiny things that are going on, and you're like, this thing doesn't transform into this other thing. Like, yeah. I don't see... The mechanics of how
this
is
working.
Where did
the robot beard come from?
Yeah.
That's exactly.
The magic, car form.
That's obviously the magic of Transformium, but I feel like if I was a kid now...
I love how dismissive you are.
If I was a kid now, my parents bought me a Transformer. I feel like all I would just keep doing is, like, taking it and, like, throwing it in the air to spin it and being like, why is it not transforming? Because that's all they ever do.
They do. You're right. The last thing I would say about the end of the movie is how all of the Transformer movies, this one included, they end incredibly abruptly. Like, as soon as the explosion stopped, Michael Bay could not have... He's done. He's completely done. So, like, they save the day, and there's, like...
There's a shot of the Autobots silhouetted on a ridgeline, which they always do. And then there's always a voiceover
by
Optimus Prime. Where
calling,
like,
all Autobots.
Like... Finally, humans and Autobots can live together. Truly, all lives matter.
Boo,
and you're like,
Optimus,
whoa, dude, what are you
boo.
Saying? He's like, what? I don't understand your PC culture.
And then, like, an Imagine Dragons song comes on the soundtrack and the credits are
Somebody
rolling.
Complains and he's like, I mean, you're using your personal computers.
PC.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it. Any final thoughts on Transformers?
I'm probably being charitable, but it feels like they've gotten worse, Matt. Like they make less and less sense as they go on.
Did you think this one was worse than the fourth one?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Dan?
Yeah, I do. I do think that is worse. I one thing I kind of appreciate at the same time as I hate it about the series is, like, this movie really assumed that you were deeply steeped in the mythos of the Transformers movies. Like, it felt like the way that Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension, like, they deliberately make it seem like, oh, okay, this is episode 54 in a serial that I have not caught the first 53 episodes of, and they're doing that as, like, a tactic, like, they're doing that on purpose as, like, this is kind of fun, like, just throwing you in the middle. Whereas this movie is just like, what the fuck is going on? I don't understand. That guy was in the last one, I think, but now he's in Cuba?
Stanley Tucci is also Merlin?
Yeah.
I almost feel like Michael Bay is approaching his movies, and he's making a deliberate attempt to make people pay more attention to movies when they watch them. Because if I looked at my phone at any point and then looked up, I'd be like, what? They're on a submarine now? What is happening?
Yeah.
I'm just
He's like, go to the theater and put away the phones, guys. Listen to my buddy Christopher Nolan on this one.
Mm-hmm. Should have like the more you know.
Yeah.
Right now. Well, we have a little bit of time left, but I feel like maybe we should go right to our trivia competition.
Sure.
Yeah. Should we do that? So here's what's going to happen. We thought, since we're here for a very special one night only show, why not pit these gentlemen against one another in combat?
Yeah.
One has a Gymkhana sword.
Me, Stuart,
the other,
with a sword.
I guess, has a mic stand.
And it's going to be a fight to the death. So good luck, dude.
Not agree to this.
I'll be.
It's going to be fine.
I'm the lone representative of the Autobots. Dan is the Decepticons tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think usually that's one of the things about the bad guys in these movies. Like in the cartoons, I remember the Decepticons having a lot of fun lines. Like they were always complaining about like how shitty and weak humans were. But I feel like in a lot of the movies, they're just like trash. They're like it's like a constant stream of trash talk that has nothing to do with how weak humans are.
Yeah, no, it's a constant stream of racially coded trash talk.
And like dialogue that is clearly not recorded in the same room as each other. Like they're recording just like people throwing out a bunch of scat and they're like, okay, mix it together.
Yeah. Make sure that the Transformer is facing away from the camera so we can throw any ADR bullshit. And there you got it.
Yeah, because they try really hard to sync it up to their mouths.
I have some Transformers trivia questions. That's what we're going to do here.
Oh, that makes sense.
We're going to see who here knows the most about the Transformers franchise, Dan or Stuart?
And I think because there's prizes, and Dan and I, you know, we can't accept prizes at our own show.
We do have.
We're going to be playing for an audience member.
Yes.
So raise your hand. Who wants to be represented by Dan McCoy of the Decepticons? My first hand I saw is waving right now. You just waved at me. You are Dan McCoy today. You're a Decepticon.
Wait, who is it?
What's your name? Amanda.
All right. I can't see you at all, but I am honored to play for you.
Dan Manda together again.
And who wants?
This is what you do this part now because I just.
Oh, who wants to? Stuart. I'm going to go with this gentleman in the second row here.
Okay, you're on Team Autobot. What is your name, sir?
Mario.
Awesome. Okay. We're going to do it this time. I think I know more about Transformers than Dan.
And
it's quite possible. I don't know why you sound proud about that.
And the one other thing we were going to do was, if neither of them, and I find this impossible, but if neither of them know the answer to the question, we're going to open it up to the audience, and an audience member could win a prize.
So there's still a chance
yes.
for you guys.
Yeah. Yes. But we'll deal with the prizes after the show. There are some terrible movies. If you're here, we assume you like terrible movies. There's some Transformers toys. You could take home a piece of the movie. Yeah, I know. I could just feel the excitement pulsating out of the audience. So here we go. Are you ready, gentlemen?
I'm ready.
All right. Question number one.
We're just going to holler these out.
How should we do it?
I don't know. We'll holler it out. It's fine.
You'll holler it out.
Yeah.
Buzz what?
Say Buzz. I like saying Buzz. We have to say Buzz because that's what
robots
do.
All right. The audience
do.
Is going to be the judge. The audience will judge. Here we go. Question one. Out of the 5 Michael Bay Transformers movies, which is the longest?
Buzz?
I think Dan was first.
I'm just going to guess. Dark of the Moon.
That is incorrect.
All right.
Stuart, care to guess?
Do I have to know the subtitle or just going to say?
You have to at least attempt a subtitle.
Part 4, Transformers, Tomorrow Never Comes.
Well, I don't think that was the name of the subtitle, but you are correct. It was number 4.
Yeah, Mario.
Age,
whoop, whoop.
Age of Extinction.
Age of Extinction.
It ran
close.
It ran a sleek 165 minutes.
Is that the one we watched for the
Yes, it is. Yes,
All
it
right.
is.
Yeah, it was.
Yep. All right, question number 2. Here we go. Which of the Transformers sequels, so not the first one, 2 through 4, which of the sequels has the best score, on Rotten Tomatoes. Care to guess?
Buzz.
Yes.
I'm going to say 2.
That is incorrect.
All right.
Sorry, Amanda. Stuart.
Buzz.
Yes.
I'm going to say part 3, The Dark of the Moon.
Stuart is correct once again.
Man. Autobots, baby.
With a, would you care to guess?
That's their catchphrase, would right? That's what.
Would you care to guess what whopping score was the highest of the sequels? Either of you?
43.
You're too high.
All right.
32.
35%.
Oh man, yep. I underestimated it.
All right, so Stuart taking a commanding 2-0 lead here. Don't look. Don't cheat.
All right.
Okay. We earlier tonight came on the stage to the sounds of The Touch, a song from the movie Transformers: The Movie, which was later performed in the movie...
Buzz.
Wait, I haven't asked the question
all
yet.
All right.
Which was performed in the movie Boogie Nights by Mark Wahlberg, who later went on to star in 2 Transformers movies, thus proving that time is a flat circle. The question, though...
Oh, okay.
Who sang The Touch in Transformers the movie?
It's not Marky Mark.
It's not Marky Mark.
Oh, man. I think you're going to have to open this up. I can't do it.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone in the audience? No, we have a hand right here.
I'm embarrassed to know this, but it's Stan Butch.
That is correct. You have won yourself a prize, sir. Come find us after the show. Well done. And now you have to sing the whole song. Come on up. Did I not mention that part? No? Okay. All right. Okay, next question. Still 2-0, Stuart. 2 actors have appeared in 4 out of the 5 Transformers. That's the most in the franchise. Name either of them. Name one person who has appeared in the most Transformers movies. As a human, not the robots, obviously.
Buzz.
Yes.
John Turturro.
That is correct. That is correct. John Turturro has appeared in 4 out of the 5. The other one was Josh Duhamel. They have each appeared.
It's weird that Dan didn't mention that one, huh? Strange omission, huh?
They're conspiracy theories.
Yes. All right, next question. True or false? The Transformers.
I don't know if this is going to the audience.
The Transformers franchise has been nominated for 7 Academy Awards.
Buzz.
Dan? Dan buzzed first.
I'm going to say true just because it sounds horrible.
It is true. It is true.
Tied up.
The first and third movies were nominated for Best Sound Editing, Best Sound Mixing, and Best Special Effects. The second film was nominated for just Best Sound Mixing because the sound editing was fucking garbage in that movie. So that is true. It is all tied up. 2-2. We got a real barn burner here. All right, next question. Which of the following...
Barn burner would be a great name for a Transformer, by the way.
It's funny you mention that because this question is about Transformer names, which is the only reason why I didn't make that joke myself. Which of the following is not the name of a Transformer featured in one of the Michael Bay Transformers movies? Here are the names. Crankcase, Fool Sticker, Mudflap, Roadbuster, or Slug?
Buzz?
Yes, Stuart.
I think Mudflap.
That is incorrect.
Fool Sticker?
Correct! I found Fool Sticker on a list of euphemisms for penises. Dan comes roaring back now, winning 3-2.
They say that a 2-0 lead at halftime is the most dangerous lead to have. Because it makes you a little bit, gives you a little bit of hubris.
Okay.
All right. Next question.
You know, sports.
Which Transformer urinated on John Turturro's head?
Buzz.
Yes.
Bumblebee.
Correct.
I was looking up that GIF earlier today.
All tied up again. I'll give you a bonus point if you can tell me the line that Optimus Prime said.
I can't.
Bumblebee, stop lubricating the man. That's what he said. Again, don't shoot the messenger here.
It's kind of hot, it's though, right? Hi, I'm Bob Guccione Jr.
All right. Next question, which is not as horrifying, thank God. Name the iconic voice actor who voiced Megatron on the original series of Transformers and replaced Hugo Weaving as the voice of Megatron in Transformers The Last Knight.
Buzz?
Yes.
Frank Welker?
That is correct.
God. Ah, that was my guess, and I didn't do it.
Yeah. Very good. All right. So I think now it's, what's this one?
I think it's
4-2.
4-2.
Oh, boy.
I got that
three.
Dangerous lead again.
4-3. I'm writing them down, but I'm just not keeping actual count. Sorry. Okay. This one's going to be for, we're almost to the end here. We've got two questions left. So this one.
This one's for some of the marbles.
This one's for, let's make this a 3-point question. Why not? Just to make it interesting.
What?
Yeah.
Highly irregular.
I'm the game master. I can do what I want. Okay. Michael Bay has directed 13 movies. 5 of those movies are Transformers movies. For 3 points, name all the other non-Transformers movies.
I'm going to try. Buzz.
Okay. Go ahead.
How many do I need to do?
There are 8 of them.
Bad Boys.
Correct.
Bad Boys 2.
Yes.
Armageddon.
Yes.
Pain and Gain.
Yes.
Oh, shoot.
Come on, dude.
Pearl Harbor.
Yes.
So I need 3 more. Michael Bay.
2 Shades of Blue, yeah.
Directed. Oh, God. I might lose this one.
Slow
Dan,
clap.
Dan,
Bad Boys.
Dan, we reviewed one of these movies on our podcast.
One of these movies is the only really good movie he made. I'll give you that clue.
Oh, The Rock.
The Rock. Okay. All right. Okay, you still have 2 more to go, though, and I'm not giving you any more clues.
We reviewed one on their show, you say.
Mm-hmm.
Did he review?
Wait, did he?
Did he review?
He didn't review anything.
No, he didn't make
Did he
that.
Direct the Emoji Movie? I'm not sure.
I got to tag out. Stuart, can you
Stuart,
do the last 2?
You get the last 2?
I believe they're both in the they are a franchise, and it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. He didn't do Out from the Shadows?
No, you're wrong. Give me that Gymkhana sword. You are unworthy.
All right, so it goes to the audience. Can
yes. Is it, if one person 2. In the audience can name those last 2, I think they will get a prize. I see a hand right there.
You got The Island.
Yes.
The remake of Clone is the Parsifal.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. The suspense. This is more suspenseful than anything in any Transformers movie that's ever been made.
It's not so easy, huh?
Well, let's give him one more second to think about it. We did.
Yes. Oh, no.
All right. All right. You did get one, though. Who was the other hand? There was a hand raised. Yes.
Is it
13
hours?
It is.
13 hours? 13 hours, colon,
oh, no.
The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi.
Oh, God. I feel like with my job, I should know that movie.
Stuart, are you all right?
You just remember that that movie existed.
I just wish he did the Ninja Turtles movie.
He did produce them, but that was not the question.
All right.
Well, this is the last question. And it is for an automatic win of the game, if you can get it correct. Megan Fox.
Kind of invalidates a bunch of our earlier questions, but that's okay.
Megan Fox appeared in 2 Transformers movies as Shia LaBeouf's love interest.
To automatically win the game, name her character. Gentlemen, the floor is yours.
Her character's name was Low Rise Pants.
Not how she was described in the script. Her name.
Guinevere Microphone Stand.
He got it, guys. He got it.
What is it?
Does anyone know? No, first.
We have. Wait
know?
A second. There is a hand, and someone is standing in the back. Yes. That is correct! Well done. All right, come find us after the show. That was amazing. Yeah. Well, who won? I think
Stuart won.
Stuart did win. Stuart so won. Congratulations, Mario.
I think we all won.
Come
see
Amanda,
us after the
come,
show.
Well, yeah, there's a. I'm sure we have a movie bad enough to punish you for having lost.
Yeah, you get a consolation prize.
Consolation
too.
Prize. Yes.
And Chris with his Secret Soldiers of Benghazi bullshit.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be amazing if I actually had a copy of 13 Hours to give him? Like, congratulations, here it is.
When he said 13, I'm like, is he going to say 13 ghosts? Because that'd be awesome.
Sadly, no. So we do have a few minutes left. Should we recommend? We were sort of blending our podcasts here.
Uh-huh.
Film Spotting SVU does streaming recommendations. The Flophouse does bad movies. So we thought maybe we'd recommend another bad movie. That we actually like, as opposed to Transformers.
Uh-huh.
The Last
That's available
Night.
On a streaming
That's available
service.
To stream, yes. What about Final
Judgments?
Oh.
Yeah, what's our final judgments? Is this a good, bad movie, a movie we kind of like, and whatever the other one is?
Bad movie.
Bad movie.
It was a bad movie. I fell asleep the first time I watched it.
You had to and pay
second,
for it twice.
The second time I tried to watch it, I made it another 30 minutes and then turned to my phone. My attention was split, so that's what I say about this movie.
Yeah, it's a bad movie. It doesn't make any sense, and it's just so hectic, and it's exhausting, and I don't want to watch it ever again.
I've seen it twice now.
Really?
Well, I saw it when it came out. I had to review it, and
was
I
it
saw
one of those
it,
things
I
where
rewatched
you,
it yesterday.
Was it one of those things where you saw it without your wife, and then you're like, she wants to see it, but I gotta lie that I have already seen it so I could see it with her.
Once you see that second time, man, it really opens up. You see all the things he's doing in there that you didn't see the first time.
Oh, brother.
No. It's bad. It's very bad.
All right. So we should recommend streaming movies that are bad, that are...
Yes, movies available to stream when these fine people go home tonight. Anything that's available
I'll
to stream.
Go first, I guess. Really quick, we've talked about it on our podcast. It's available as part of Amazon Prime. It's a movie called Fateful Findings. Directed by Neil Breen, an architect out of Las Vegas who stars in his own movies, writes his own movies, directs his own movies.
That is 100% USDA prime beef bad movie.
He's also the last descendant of Merlin alive on the planet.
It is, if you want a movie that is clearly the product of one man's insanity, watch Fateful Findings.
If he directed this Transformers movie, the end of the movie, the Transformers would be like, time to clean house, and then all the bad people on Earth would die.
Yeah.
It would also be like 40% him typing on computers that aren't on.
Yeah.
And then a shot of his butt that shows just a tiny hint of his back ball sack. Which is hot sometimes.
Yeah. No.
This is already a better movie than the one we watched today. I'm not. This hypothetical Transformers, Neil Breen Transformers, is better than the last.
Yeah. I won't even try to explain what Fateful Findings is about. Like, it's a fever dream that you have to experience for yourself.
It's
yeah,
magic.
Yeah. Have some friends over, pop some Redenbachers, settle in for a wild ride. Don't pay for the whole seat, because you're only going to need the edge, right?
Yeah. And real quick, I'll just say, I won't even talk about it, but I'll say that Food Fight, another movie that we've talked about on the podcast, is also available for free on Amazon Prime if you want another.
Yeah, so if
terrible.
You want to torture a child with something, tie him down and put on Food Fight.
I have a child I want to torture, my own.
That'd be great. Yeah, it's a lot like that scene in Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, basically. I'm going to recommend a series of movies that is streaming on the Shudder streaming service, which is a horror movie streaming service that is fucking great. So if you're a fan of horror movies, you should get on that. They're constantly changing what they have available, which is a little frustrating because sometimes I put stuff in my queue and don't get to it, and then it disappears. But they have a really great selection of stuff. And I'm going to recommend a series of bad movies, the Wishmaster series. All four of them are on there. So if you're ever in the mood for something that is both better and worse than the Leprechaun movies, why don't you toss them Wishmasters better, in your queue?
Better how and worse how?
I'm almost always in the mood for something that is both better and worse than the Leprechaun movies.
Well, I think the high points are higher and the low points are lower.
All right.
And there is no height jokes here. I'm not making fun of anybody. What I will say about the first Wishmaster is that if you're a fan of horror movies, it features so many great cameos of like classic and famous horror movie actors. You got Robert Englund, you got Kane Hodder, you got Angus Grimm, you got Reggie Bannister, you got Tony Todd. It's amazing. Check
it's
it
an
out.
Expendables of horror names.
Yeah, but I don't know what I'm going to say. But it's great. Watch them Wishmasters. Your wish will be granted.
Do I need to start with with number that you booed after all the dumb things we've said tonight?
Do I have to start with
number one?
It depends. What I might suggest, this is a little unprecedented.
What's the preferred viewing order here?
I would say work your way backwards so it starts bad and gets better.
like Memento.
Think about it. Yeah, Memento these movies, please.
All right, my recommendation is currently streaming on Epix. How many people have Epix here?
No.
You're the ones! You can also get it on like Blu-ray and stuff, and you can find it other places. But at the moment, the only legal place to stream it is Epix. Okay, well, everyone else can leave. I'm just going to talk to these lovely people in the front row. It's a musical film entitled The Apple. Have you seen The Apple?
I've tried to see The Apple.
It's worth seeking out.
Explain right. What you mean, Daniel.
I attempted watching it, and the audience that I was watching with, I invited people over to watch The Apple. We had watched. It was a double feature of bad musicals. We started with Xanadu. We're moving on to The Apple.
You mean the masterpiece known as Xanadu?
There's a lot of audience pushback on Xanadu. All right, but we started on Xanadu and we had a great time watching Xanadu, and then we started The Apple and all of the people I was watching it were like, no, we're not in for this.
I mean, that's a fair reaction, but it's not as sublime as Xanadu, but it is it's pretty special. It's from one half of the canon group. The men who created the...
Which one, Golan or Globus?
Golan.
All right.
Good on you for knowing that, Dan. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I have so much trash in my brain.
So, yeah, it's a Golan joint.
All right.
And it is a musical, like a disco musical, set in the far-flung future of 1994.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Where the record industry, it's like a dystopia ruled by one record company. The BIM Corporation.
Terrifying.
And every day at 4 o'clock, everyone has to get up and dance.
I like how so many of these rock dystopias have to do with rock music.
Yep.
Like, they're all, like, these horrible, like, future worlds. Like, the problem is, like, oh, too much rock or not enough rock or we can't dance.
It's like all these big Hollywood award season movies that are about how tough it is to make a movie in Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's about the... It's basically like a world where it's like American Idol meets... 1984 or something. It's like there's like singing competitions and also everyone has to dance to terrible music.
Sounds like a real Black Mirror.
It is. with a song in its heart. And there's a song about taking methamphetamines. All the songs are insane. There's like a song that's set in hell where a guy is holding like an apple, like a giant cartoonishly large apple that is, you know, like the serpent tempting Adam and Eve, and everyone's but everyone's wearing like bedazzled.
I don't get the metaphor.
Yeah. I'll let you discover it on your own. But okay. everyone in the scene is like wearing like bedazzled thongs and nothing else. It's really quite beautiful.
Dan's interested all of a sudden.
Yeah, bedazzled thongs. Count me in.
Yes. It's really quite it's just incredibly misguided. I mean, like when you read like the Wikipedia page, they're like the composers of all the music didn't speak English, and you're like, oh, now it's suddenly like these crazy songs make a lot more sense. Like, why these songs are so insane. So that's my recommendation. It's The Apple. It is on Epix. It is on, I think you can get it on Blu-ray if you don't have Epix. But you guys, awesome. Two satisfied customers.
There are three people. There are three people in the audience with Epix, by the way. Three.
People at Epix are going to listen to this podcast and be like, no!
I mean,
no, I think they're going to be like, oh, our market penetration was better than we thought.
Guys, we got somebody!
There's three of them.
Yeah, I got Epix too, dude.
Woo!
Wait, do we have Epix? Okay. I don't have Epix. I was lying. I was trying to get you guys to like me.
You don't have it yet.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay, how do we sign off? Do you have
know.
A plan?
Yeah, we don't really have a plan.
And on a high note, Matt said before we came out here.
We blew right past that.
So I guess thanks for coming out to our little show here. Yeah. Thanks again to Matt for inviting us.
Yeah, thank you for that.
And thanks to you guys for coming out on a Saturday night.
Thanks to everyone
who
came out. This was a lot of fun.
I'm sorry to you guys who had to watch Transformers.
It's fine. Only one person had seen it.
Before I started watching the movie, I pulled up my PlayStation. I'm like, I kind of just want to play this video game. And my wife's like, play the video game, watch the movie. I don't care. It's all the same to me. Okay.
No perfect impression of your wife, by the
way. Do whatever you want.
Dead on. I mean, if I close my eyes, it's like she's standing right
there. It's like Char's right here. Yeah. Okay, guys. So, Dan, you want to close us out?
I guess. I'm not really the driving force behind this, but I can. Thanks to Matt Singer for inviting us to be on his thing. Thanks to us for being on his thing.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
This has been a crossover of Film Spotting SVU and the Flophouse.
Your show.
Yeah,
you
whatever.
Probably know the name of your
whatever
show.
My show is called.
Yep.
And we called this one Flop Spotting. And thank everyone for coming.
Yep, yeah. That was Dan McCoy. I'm Stuart Wellington. And that is
Matt Singer. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.